We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to another episode of The Pod is the Roof, the Field of 68's very own UNC basketball podcast. I am your host, Jacob Karabatsis, joined as always by my co-host slash sometimes the host, Riley Davis, my guy. It's been a while, man. We're still waiting for some Carolina hoops. We finally get some on Saturday, but how you been in the meantime, man?
Yeah, that's as you were introducing the podcast, I realized it's been over a week since we last recorded. I'm like, I miss my guy JK. I miss talking about UNC hoops. The last time we chatted, we were going into this UConn game that loomed large. Didn't quite get the win, you know, showed that we could hang with them. I think they just got a little better depth and they're so well coached. It feels like it's been forever since UNC played. It's only been 8 days. I honestly don't mind the break because UNC basketball games are a bit stressful for me. I tend to get very emotionally invested, as probably most fans do, to where I'm like, hey, it's kind of nice to just chill for a little bit and to not have to worry, to get to watch some other games. Though the slate this week has been pretty weak. There hasn't been too many good games so far. But yeah, aside from that, you know, just getting ready for Christmas and the holidays and time with family. But how about you, man?
I'm doing well, man. Like you said, Christmas is almost here. It's every year Halloween comes, and as soon as Halloween's over, it feels like Christmas gets here in 2 weeks. It's genuinely insane. But I mean, look, the break is awesome. You know, getting a little break from the stress is fine, but you know, the college basketball schedule is an evil, evil thing because they give us a week and a half off, and then we get like this monster slate on Saturday where we get to watch, you know, Purdue, Arizona. We get Carolina, Kentucky. I mean, this is just going to be a bloodbath of a Saturday, which kind of perfect timing because we now don't have college football until the bowl games. So, you know, it's at least it gives us something to watch. I mean, it's going to be stressful and there's a lot of good games. I hate that we get a week and a half off and don't get like a little in-betweener, you know, we got to go straight to another stressful game against another blue blood. But yeah, we're going to get into all that later, man. But we do want to talk a little bit about the UConn game because like my guy Riley mentioned, it has been a while. And listen, I promise we had an immediate reaction ready to go if that game would have went the other way. But as soon as it wasn't going the other way, you were like, you know what? We'll sit on this one.
When UConn went up, when we cut it to, I guess Carolina cut it to 63-69, and then you blinked and UConn was up 81-66. JK texted me and said, like, yeah, let's hold off till next week. And I was like, I'm good with that. I'm kind of it's late on the East Coast. I was ready to go to bed once that game ended. But yeah, man, we can still talk about it a little bit. I wanted to touch on it just because, you know, Carolina is obviously one of the, two or three best college basketball programs of all time. We're going to argue it's number one. So you don't really want to look for moral victories. Yet at the same time, when you look at sort of the ups and downs of this program over the last half decade and even – the last 2 years of the Hubert Davis era outside of the tournament run. Kind of that one of the knocks on him has been they tend to lose these big non-conference games, and oftentimes it's not close. I mean, they got beat pretty easily at Indiana last year. Dropped a couple close games, obviously, to Iowa State and Alabama. No shame in that last year. But then the year before, getting beat pretty handily by Purdue and Tennessee. So where you want to start to see some progress from that, and they're already ahead of schedule on that end. You know, I think Arkansas will be a tournament team. Tennessee is going to stay a great win all year. And to see like really the first half of the first, yeah, the first 10 minutes of that game against UConn, I thought UNC looked like one of the best teams in the country. And I think, you know, one of my biggest takeaways is that Carolina's top six can compete with anybody. That they are that good when you look at Elliott Cadeau, RJ Davis, Cormac Ryan, Harrison Ingram, Armando Bacot, and Seth Trimble. That top six is you know, there's a little bit of volatility with guys like Cormac, who is in a bit of a funk right now, and Armando has the occasional head scratcher. But as a whole, you sort of know what you're going to get from that group. And it's a good balance of offensive firepower with a lockdown defender and Seth coming off the bench. And even that starting five has some good cohesiveness on that end of the court defensively too. It's not great, but it's, you know, probably better than we might have thought. But it's just, it seemed like it was that it played out in this UConn game as Carolina's question mark still on the bench, or ultimately it's undoing. It seemed like the guys got a little winded in the second half. You know, they cut it to five and couldn't convert on a couple shots as UConn was missing shots. And next thing you know, I mean, they did what champions do. I know it's cliche, but they pulled away twice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling positive and negative about it. I'm a bit negative because I feel like this is going to be a little bit closer to the Iron Five than we may have imagined. Because, I mean, there's just no way to sugarcoat this. The Withers minutes have been bad. The Wojcik minutes haven't been impressive. The Washington minutes haven't been good. The only thing I could think of is maybe like try a little more Zaden. Try bringing Okonkwo in, like, you know, switch it up a little bit, because there comes a point in time where it's like, you know, I'm pretty much worried most of the time defensively when Washington's out there, and I'm worried offensively when Withers is out there. So it's tough, but I mean, you look at the positives. We shot 7 of 14 on non-Cormac Ryan threes. You know, you bring in a guy to shoot, and he goes 0 for 6, which is probably an anomaly. In most cases, he goes 2 for 6, and if that's the case, you know, it's not like he was chucking contested looks either. These were open looks, and you know, say he goes 2 for 6, that's 87-82. You know, it might be a different game in crunch time. It's so there's that. I mean, you know, some shots just not falling. I will say two things though, and that is if Ingram and RJ are going to play at this level, you know, and Bacot just is remotely himself. Now, I'm not gonna lie, he had a few out of control takes and he looked a little bit like he was trying to play hero ball. You know, he's got to tone that down a little bit. But if Ingram and RJ are gonna score at this level, this team is capable of doing a lot because they're gonna have two guys who can give you 20 every night. And that's, you know, the only other things I'd really say is I feel like Cadeau did have some very freshman moments for the first time in that game. There was a couple really costly turnovers. But then this is a stat that I wanted to read you because when I saw it, I didn't even believe it at first. Now, you probably saw it too, but UConn is a frustrating team to play because even when you defend them perfectly, it doesn't matter. Per my guy, Jim Root, second chance points, love him to death. Just checked, and UConn is shooting 94% from the field in the final 5 seconds of the shot clock this season, standing at 2.3 points per possession. You can't do anything about that. If they are shot chucking, and that's what they're going to do this year, is hit crazy shots late in the clock, props. What are you
Yeah,
going to do?
yeah, they got like Tristan Newton has been insane this year. I don't see how he's not an All-American. He might be the best. He's at worst the third best point guard in the country.
I
He
can
might
agree
be
with
at
that.
worst too. Like Isaiah
He's so
Stevens from
under
Colorado
control.
State, he's kind of the only other guy who sticks out to me. Alex Caraban is a contested shot maker. Cam Spencer can get going. Like they are truly a nightmare to defend because on top of their talent, Danny Hurley runs this beautiful motion offense. And you know, Bill Self said it, you got to switch against UConn. You can't defend them if you don't switch. Carolina switched. They switched mainly switched 1 through 4. Armando is switching some 1 through 5. They don't have the length and athleticism to make up for it if there's a single miscommunication. And they're still getting on the same page, still a bunch of new pieces on this team. They got burned a couple times, and that, like, it's not like UNC's poorly coached or UNC's poorly executing. I mean, maybe they're not executing as well as they could be, but again, when you look at those caveats of a bunch of new pieces, of them still trusting each other and figuring it out, like, it's understandable. And yeah, the fact that UConn creates is hitting that insane percentage that late in the shot clock. And even from like the positives on that, there was, especially in the first half, a lot of good defensive possessions where Carolina would play well for 25 seconds. And UConn would just finally get a good shot, or they would even force a miss. And this is where I would say speaks a little bit to where I want to see some more Zaden High or maybe even some James Okonkwo getting beat on the glass. You know, it's really tough when you play a good possession of defense, but UConn gets a second chance opportunity and it often leads to a step in three. We saw that a ton in the second half as well. And that's kind of how they were put it away. Some good baseline out of bounds plays drawn up to get Caravan free off of like double screens and stuff. Like it really does look impossible to fit and
Yeah,
they're clicking.
it's,
So
and I mean, that's just the sign that you're playing a good team. Like UNC did most things right. They only turned it over 7 times. They were very, very smart with the basketball. They missed some open looks, but on the other end, I'm pretty sure there was 4 shots that Alex Caraban missed from the perimeter where there was nobody within 10 feet of him. So many miscommunications. So that's why I can't get too mad about the Cormac thing, because it's like we caught a few breaks.
yeah.
As much as they threw up a few prayers, there was a couple really deep threes they hit where I was like, oh my, like every time we had momentum, it was like big shot. But like you said, the cliche, that is what championship teams do. I wasn't necessarily mad. That was a game I had really expected them to lose from the beginning. So I'm not mad at it. It's not a bad loss at all. If they can come out and get a win at Kentucky this week, it's going to be huge. And they're going to be sitting 8-2 with losses against Villanova, which doesn't look too hot right now, and UConn. But the
Yeah, they
last
but
thing,
oh, go ahead. Yeah, for sure.
I do want to talk about this because we have to. The Tech. What the
At
hell was that?
least they made up for it and teed up Cam Spencer afterwards. I just like the most annoying part from all this, I didn't realize how annoying UConn fans are online until this game. Like it was kind of fun when they thought they were getting Cooper Flagg and they were chirping at Duke fans. I was like, this is fun to watch. Like, shout out UConn. We're on the same wavelength here. Duke won the recruitment, so like Duke got the last laugh, which sucked. And then now I look around, I'm like, I thought we were buddies here, and I'm seeing all these UConn fans tweet out these Cam Spencer gifs of him like punching air and like chirping at the crowd after Armando gets teed up. Like, come on now. I thought we
No,
were
bro,
I
listen.
thought there was this, a mutual respect here.
First off, why are we teeing people up for chirping? That's the stupidest thing ever. It's a problem at all levels right now. Like the NBA's ejecting guys for stupid things. We got guys in college getting teed up for stuff. Like, dude, let these guys be intense. Like, if he stares someone down and says, like, give me that, or like, who cares? Like, let them be intense, especially if you're going to tee up Mondo and then let Cam Spencer go down the whole entire court dropping F bombs. And it's just like, that's just insane to me. But the thing that really got me hot too about the UConn fans is, Armando had the quote and he was like, he was saying some things that he wouldn't say if we, yada, yada, yada. And then
Oh
some
yeah. Out of a
UConn
park or something.
alumni that played there, I don't remember who it was like, I promise you, Cam gonna say, no, it was, what's his, he's done stuff with the Field of 68, he played with Cam at Rutgers. And he was like, I promise you,
Oh,
Cam
Geo
gonna say,
Baker.
yeah, it was Gio's. I promise you, Cam gonna say anything anywhere. And I'm like, dude, why are we trying to just spin Cam Spencer off like he's Draymond Green, dude? This dude's not doing nothing. I'm sorry. Like, he's not. Like, I mean, You know what they say, man. It's easy to chirp in a controlled environment when you know nothing can happen to you. But listen, UConn just is salty because, yes, they are extremely successful in the last 25 years. They've been arguably the most successful program in the last 25 years. But like, they hate every blue blood because they want to be called a blue blood so bad. And me personally, I would put them in that conversation, but other people don't. And I think that just gets them a little butthurt. So they get fired up, man.
Yeah, and speaking to their success, I gotta take some shots at them right now, just because one, I don't think UConn fans listen to us anyway, so we probably won't reap the
Maybe we should send it to
consequences.
Doster, see what he has to say.
this is gonna gas the UNC fans up and just get them, keep them in our corner. You know how if you're ever working on a group project or you're, I know you work in the media, so you don't really go to an office, but like maybe one day in your life this will happen when you're in an office or a group project or some sort of gathering where. Someone brings a dozen donuts, like a morning meeting of sorts. Someone might bring donuts to lift the spirits. Let's say that you say you have eight people in attendance here. Everybody eats a donut. You got a four left over. Then you got a couple people going back for more. Everybody gets their fill, and then there's one donut left, and you've only had one donut. You're thinking like, do I really want this donut? It's just like kind of a boring glazed donut, maybe little sprinkles on it, nothing too special. I'm personally a cake donut guy, so I wouldn't. You're just sitting there deliberating, do I take this or not? And then you're like, okay, well, if no one else is going to eat it, they're just going to throw it away. I guess I'll take this last donut. That is how UConn has won like five of their championships. It's just like, oh, no one else wants this. No one's going to take this donut. No one's going to take this championship. We'll come in as an eight seed and win it all. We'll beat Kentucky in 2014 and just have a guard go nuclear. Oh, we'll come in as a four seed in a Final Four with FAU and San Diego State. Like, if no one else wants this, I guess we'll have this last donut. Like, I think that's the frustrating thing about UConn fans when they chirp, because it's like, yes, I respect it. There is that mutual respect. Like, championships are championships. Banners last forever. But like, you can't have like a half decade long stretch where you don't sniff the tournament in between your titles. Like, come on now. Like that's
Yeah,
where it gets frustrating when they talk like they're blue bloods and they talk like they're
and
us. They talk
it's
like they have decades of excellence,
I feel like
of
you can't
character.
be title or bust and be a blue blood. Like, what makes a blue blood is that they're like almost always like a top five seed. They're always there in some capacity. I don't know. I mean, respect to UConn for winning their chips, but it's like you said, man. I think a lot of that just comes with the identity of the coaches, and they're able to take those championships because they always have a hard-nosed, intense coach. They went from Calhoun, and now they have Hurley, and those guys are both like, we might not be the best team on the floor, which last year, I think from a talent perspective, is one of the few years from top to bottom they were like just really damn good. But it's just one of those things where Hurley was going to have his guys ready no matter what. They weren't going to get punked. And that's the difference. A lot of it, like March Madness, not like, I'd say 50% of March Madness is showing up and having that mentality of we're not getting punked today. But yeah, that's our little rant on the UConn UNC game. Now it's time to move on to a battle of two actual blue bloods, if you will, UNC and Kentucky. All right, this is going to be an interesting one because Kentucky just beat Penn on Saturday. So they're only coming off a week break. UNC's going to be coming off almost two. Not that that really matters too much, but there's just a lot to discuss here, man, because these Kentucky freshmen are special. Aaron Bradshaw looked really good on Saturday. Like, I just genuinely think, regardless of the outcome, this is just going to be a classic UNC and Kentucky offensive slugfest, regardless. What are your initial thoughts here?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I wanted to add, when it comes to the exam break, I kind of like that. I know I mentioned that it's been nice to have the breather from the stress from a fan's perspective. But like, how many times do you see Carolina, or really any team in general, play a mid-major fresh off of exams at home and come out sleepy or sloppy? Like we saw two nights ago with Duke playing Hofstra. I mean, Hofstra was up 5 late into the first half. And I think, Duke ended up pulling away in the second and winning by 20. But the night that we recorded this, Chicago State pulled off an upset at Northwestern. Like, you see it during exam week where something about those high major teams, maybe their execution's off, they haven't been practicing as much. Same as can be said of the mid and low majors, but you know, if they're coming in with the chip on their shoulder, they're coming in a bit more motivated. And yeah, I like getting to avoid that scare. Like, I'm happy that a really good App State team isn't coming into Chapel Hill this week where we're fresh off exams or something. But
hey, there's a correlation there. And I'm throwing shade. I just feel like throwing shade at people today. You notice the correlation of the teams that come out slow are the teams that go to schools who are held to a high academic standard, like Northwestern and Duke. Like, I don't think anyone that goes to Alabama is coming out flat during exams, respectfully. I don't know, man.
Anyway, I'll get us back on track, but it'll be interesting to see if either team has any rust, because, like, you know, 7 days, 11 days, there's probably not that much of a difference in, like, a rust factor there. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, this is going to be a shootout. Both teams play exceptionally fast. In some ways, I think it's going to feel a little bit like the diet version of the UNC-Kentucky game from the 2016-2017 season. Final score of 103-100. I say diet because that UConn team had two all pros on it and Bam Adebayo and De'Aaron Fox, not to mention Malik Monk as well. That team was insane. I actually love that Kentucky team. They're so fun to watch. But like this Kentucky team has a lot of talent, but you know, I don't see two future all pros on it. And UNC probably has a little less NBA talent than that UNC team did. The only draft pick on that Carolina team was Justin Jackson, a lottery pick who, you know, hasn't really stuck. No shame in that, but like there's decent chance there's not a lottery pick on this UNC team, but you have a couple guys who have pro aspirations. So, yeah, it might not hit the 100 threshold, but I kind of expected to hit the 90s, high 80s into the 90s.
So, all right, we talked about the Kentucky freshmen, Dillingham, Reed Shepard, now Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Edwards has been extremely underwhelming. He has just been really bad, to say the least, which totally means I'm expecting him to hit every shot against Carolina. That just seems to be the way the cookie crumbles. But of those freshmen, like, who's the key? Like, who's the one in your mind that North Carolina just can't let get going?
I think it's pretty clearly Dillingham. He can swing a game, turn it on his head on his own. And you factor in the him being from North Carolina, him having a history of growing up a UNC fan. And, you know, I don't know how the exact story and how the exact recruitment went, but Carolina recruited him really hard. And it hit a certain point where I think it was almost like a mutual parting of both parties, as far as like what was reported. So with that being said, though, there's I would guess Dillingham wants to prove something or have a little revenge factor, to where he is by far the scariest dude to me in this game. If he comes off the bench, as soon as he checks in, I need to see Seth Trimble going to the scorer's table as well. You can't let Dillingham give you 20 plus off the bench.
I completely agree, simply because, and you know, it's probably a stupid comparison because, oh, they both come off the bench, but he just has such Jamal Crawford vibes where it's like he's coming off the bench to get buckets. Mm-hmm. Whereas a guy like Reed, yeah, if you leave him open, he's going to make you play, but he is a much more like just go with the flow of the game guy. Like Reed might have 6, 5, and 5, or he might have 18. So you can't leave him open, but Rob's sole purpose for this Kentucky team is come in and drop 15 plus off the bench. And that's like, all right, they lost the Wilmington game. Why'd they lose the Wilmington game? Because Dillingham shot 1 of 9 from the field and he couldn't hit anything off the bench, scored 2 points. Like they got 25 from Reed. They got 14 from Reeves. They got 11 from Mitchell, 11 from Edwards, and they lost because Dillingham couldn't score. He is the scorer that sparks them. Like, if I'm just not that worried if Antonio Reeves comes out and scores 25, like whatever. If he does, he does. I'm worried if Rob comes off the bench and is 6 of 7 to start the game, all of a sudden it was a close game. Now it's not, because he came in and blew it open. So that I agree with that completely. Now going to the other side of the ball, who's the guy who can swing this game for UNC? Because we've seen it be Ingram. We've seen it be Davis. We've seen Cadeau have his moments. Who's the guy against this group?
I mean, kind of staying similar spark plug. And well, I guess RJ Davis is less of a spark plug now and more just like a bucket. I think it's him. I don't like, as good as Reed has been on defense, smart of a defender he is, I don't think he can check RJ. I don't think Dillingham can check RJ. I don't think DJ Wagner can check RJ. Like, this should be another 25 plus outing from RJ Davis, and Carolina needs that to win. You start talking about him crossing the 30 point mark, then I'd feel really, really good about Carolina's chance to come out victorious here. I think he's got to be the engine that, well, Cadeau is sort of the engine in the sense that he sets everybody up, but RJ has to be, what's a good way to close that? If RJ's got to be the accelerator that like finishes the job, you know?
Yeah. I love creating narratives. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm going with the Cadeau's going to take this game personally narrative, because for whatever reason, if it is not ACC coverage, nobody is talking about Cadeau. And I guess it's because the scoring numbers aren't there. But all he's had to hear is Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham. And, you know, basically there was a list. I think Jamie Shaw did it. And it was like 10 like most impactful freshmen so far. And I don't even think Cadeau was in the top 10. So I think he's going to take – I think he's going to take it personally anytime he lines up across an opposing freshman. Mm-hmm. But I think that is a narrative that I'm willing to rock with. I also think that, like, Baycott's going to be huge here because Bradshaw just kind of came at an undersized Penn team, 17 and 11. He's a guy that if he gets going, that's just adding an extra layer that they didn't even have before. Yeah, and I also think playing defense on Trey Mitchell is going to be huge because Trey Mitchell's had a couple games this year where he gets going, scores 25, and then, you know, when you're getting 25 from Trey Mitchell, we're not winning that game. So I need Armando to do a little bit what he did to Klingon. Get Trey mm-hmm. Mitchell in some early mm-hmm. foul trouble, attack the basket, not out of control, though, and take over. And then, oh God, I'll be honest, I think Ingram should have a field day. Because
Reeves Edwards can't guard him either.
Edwards doesn't weigh enough.
Mm-hmm. Reeves doesn't weigh enough either.
Thero is only he's 6'6", and he's kind of small. So it's like Harrison Ingram should be able to get downhill at will in this game.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, realistically, like, I mean, I just agree with you. I think the mismatches just go in Carolina's favor. Like, mm-hmm. I trust RJ to guard those Kentucky guards far more than I trust them to guard RJ.
I think I'm with you on that. I actually think he and Cadeau have been nowhere near the liability that people thought they would be. It's been more so wings, like 6'7", 6'8", Dalton Connect types, or I guess Caravan's probably more of a stretch four than a wing, but he torched UNC. That's honestly why Trey Mitchell's a little bit scary. I think he's not the level of shooter Caravan is, or he plays really smart. He moves the ball. He's been a phenomenal passer this year. You got to keep him in check. Yeah, if Reeves gives you buckets, I mean, you can still win. I feel like Reeves is sort of the knockdown shooter and a bit of a go-to guy. But yeah, this is where you really want to see Carolina flex its veteran experience. You want to see RJ Davis make Rob Dillingham look like he needs another year of school. You want to see Armando Baycott use his strength and his old man, I guess really the old man strength on Bradshaw, like, and get those dudes in foul trouble. Where I will say I think Kentucky can swing it is with its bench play, just because I would feel better about UNC going into this game. I'd feel better about them long term if they could just get a reliable seventh and eighth man. I would love to see Carolina give an 8-man rotation. It's nice that Paxson, you know, he played 20 minutes against Arkansas and didn't kill you. He's he's not making many mistakes. Just needs to look at the rim a little bit more, be ready to shoot. Would love to see Zayden High get some minutes, especially with Carolina struggles on the glass. You don't want to get crushed on the glass by the Kentucky team. I get they probably want to see what they have in Jalen Withers some more, but it just seems like there's, again, this is something I don't have any experience with, 'cause I've only coached, you know, church league basketball before. I don't know what you do. Like, do you try to get see if Jalen Withers can figure it out, or do you say, you know, he's this is his fourth year of college basketball. You have a decent sample size. Let's see what the young guy can give us. Who there's not really much of a drop off with athleticism between him and High, and you know High has an incredible motor. He's gonna make some freshman mistakes. He might foul a 3-point shooter. He might get a goaltend, but he's gonna play hard 100%, like every single one of his minutes.
Yeah, I almost think this is the type of game where you try it too, because what does Kentucky consist mostly of? Freshmen. So it's like him being on the court against them, he's not going to be out there with four seniors. Like he's going to be out there against opposing freshmen. So I don't know. I just want to see a little bit of change off the bench, because just clearly the team's just noticeably worse when certain guys come in. And you know, I feel good about this game for so many reasons. One, there's no way Cormack's going to shoot that bad again. Like last time he shot this bad, I was out on him. And then the next two games, he came out on like a tear. Harrison Ingram remains on fire. RJ remains on fire. Armando's looked good enough. Yeah, I mean, I like that Kentucky wants to play with pace, because that's exactly what UNC wants to do. And that's why this is going to be an offensive shootout. I think that just plays to Carolina's favor. And I think that UNC also knows that this is pretty important because of how good Oklahoma looks. They have to win at least one of these next two games, because if they lose to Kentucky, now we're talking 7-3 coming to Charlotte to play what's probably still going to be an undefeated Oklahoma team. So this is a very important stretch for them. Final thoughts, predictions, etc. from you, Mr. Davis.
All right, so I think Carolina splits these next two games. Call it an emotional hedge, if you will. I kind of think that's the most realistic outcome. If they win both these games, I'm going to be saying UNC is a national championship contender. Because
Same.
I think there's a world, you know, it's funny. I said if we get a reliable seventh and eighth man, then it affects my view of Carolina long term. Even if we don't, even if it's just these six guys and you don't know what you're getting from guys 7 through 10, there's a world where Carolina can make a Final Four. There's a world where they can make a deep March run that's not fluky. They have really good players. They have good college players. They got a guy I think will get drafted in Ingram, and a guy who will eventually get drafted in Elliott Cadeau, whether it's this upcoming summer or next year. But yeah, I'll be saying we're national championship contenders if we win both these games. That said, I don't know which one we're going to win. I would lean the Oklahoma game because it's in Charlotte. So I'm going to pick Kentucky just because I think the bench is better, and I think Dillingham's going to be a problem. And it's going to be like 94 to 91 is my prediction.
Listen, guys, I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to let this negative Nancy weigh me down over here, okay? UNC is going to win their last three non-con games. It's my prediction. This is going to be like the opposite of UConn and what I said about Tennessee. Instead of first to 65, this is going to be like the first to 85, maybe. I do think it's going to be a shootout. I'm going to go UNC. It's in Atlanta, so it's like, but it could be a split crowd. Like it really
Yeah, it's just
could.
Kentucky fans travel so well, but there are like a ton of Carolina alums in Atlanta.
It's weird, man. Like I don't even know. Like this is a true 50-50 split, probably from a crowd perspective. Maybe lean a little bit towards Kentucky home game, but I'd say it's fairly neutral. I'm going to go 92 to 87 UNC. And yeah, I mean, I do think that this is going to be a shootout, but I don't think it has quite the amount of offensive talent in it to be that 103 to 101 type game, which, you know, if it is, that'd be absolutely nuts. But yeah, I'm going to stay positive here. Going to keep the vibes high. Probably going to be wrong again, but it's all right. I will gladly be wrong if I'm predicting UNC. If I'm riding with my guys and I'm wrong about it, so be it. You know
Good
what I
place to
mean? And
be.
then, you know, it gets into crunch time after that. I think UNC's on the fence right now. If people don't really know if they want to call him a contender yet, but I am fully with Riley in that if they go 2-0 in these next two, and you are not a UNC fan, do not listen to that podcast episode after the Oklahoma game if they're 2-0, because you will not have a fun time. It is going to be an absolute, it's going to be an absolute glaze fest in here. It's going to be great. But all right, man, fun as always with my guy Riley. We will be back after the Kentucky game. We're trying to get a guest on. Okay, I promise. We're trying. We're working. So if you're listening to this, just know you don't have to deal with just us two for too long. We're trying to line something up. And yeah, we'll be here to recap that. So we're sorry for the hiatus. We cannot help the college basketball schedule.
Hey, I got a quick four corners before we depart.
Love that.
This is for all the alums in Atlanta. These are four things not to wear to this game. Don't wear your driving loafers. Don't wear your quarter zip. Don't wear your button down. Don't wear your chinos. This is not the game to just be like sick, gonna get off of work, you know, in the investment banking world or what have you. Catch the Carolina game on Saturday and win, lose, or draw, we're going out to a nice dinner afterwards and I'm gonna enjoy my nice Atlanta life. No, this is a game where you gotta be locked in. You gotta be loud. You gotta make it a raucous environment that drowns out Big Blue Nation. Don't be the wine and cheese stereotype.
Listen,
that's my PSA to the Atlanta alums.
Y'all are going to get some straight bluegrass bandits. They're going to be in there with their shirts off, letters painted on them, wigs, going nuts. Y'all got to match that intensity, man. You got to pull up in like your frat days, 2018 UNC shirt with like three beer stains on it that just won't come out. Like, you got to be in there loud and rowdy, man. Like, let them know what's up, because I'm telling you, Kentucky fans are ruthless, and y'all do not want to get, y'all don't want to get shown up. So show up and show out. Listen, that's going to do it for this edition of The Pod is the Roof. Stay tuned. We will be dropping this, and we will be dropping a recap soon, probably in the Sunday to Monday range. And of course, as always, stay safe. Be devious in the stands this week and just enjoy some Carolina sports, man. We'll see you guys next time.